You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Sunday, April 9, 2023. Shake it up. Why spot will change everything in the U.S. crude oil export market. Published by Housley Carr. If you think, as we do, that 1. U.S. crude oil production is likely to increase by 1.5 to 2 million barrels per day over the next 5 years, 2. Almost all those barrels will be light sweet crude that needs to be exported, and 3. Exporters will overwhelmingly favor the marine terminals that can accommodate very large crude carriers, VLCCs, it would be hard to ignore the game-changing impacts that Enterprise Products Partners' planned Seaport oil terminal could have. Spot, which could be completed as soon as 2026, will have robust pipeline connections from the Permian and other shale plays and be capable of fully loading a 2 million barrels VLCC in one day, enough to handle virtually all the incremental exports we're likely to see over the next 5 years. In today's RBN blog, we discuss the fast increasing role of VLCCs in U.S. crude oil exports and the potentially seismic impacts of the SPOT project. RBN's middle-of-the-road mid-forecast sees U.S. crude oil production increasing to 14 million barrels per day by 2028, about 2 million barrels per day higher than the 2022 average, with three-quarters of that incremental output coming from the Permian and most of the rest from other shale plays that also produce high API gravity, low-sulfur oil, see the price you pay for more, and a downloadable Mississippi Excel version of that forecast. Given that U.S. refineries' ability to economically process light sweet crude is essentially maxed out, it's a good bet that almost all those incremental barrels will be bound for export terminals along the Gulf Coast. And as we said in calling the shots, it's just as likely that, on their way to overseas refineries, as many of those barrels as physically possible will be headed through terminals like the Enbridge Ingleside Energy Center, or EIEC, and South Texas Gateway, or STG, both in the Corpus Christi area, whose docks can receive and load VLCCs with minimal reverse lightering, the most cost-effective way to move massive volumes of oil to Europe and Asia. But crude oil pipelines from the Permian to Corpus are nearing capacity. More oil is being diverted toward Houston-area export terminals across Magellan's pipelines, the Midland to ICO pipeline system, and other pipes. See sooner or later in Houston bound for more on that, and Enterprise continues to advance its plan to build spot in 115 feet deep waters about 30 nautical miles off the coast of Freeport. Enterprise has estimated that it will have a full license for the project in hand by September 2023, and that it will take about 30 months to build the facility. In What It Takes, we explain that SPOT will have two single-point mooring buoys and the ability to simultaneously moor two VLCCs and load one per day, providing an extraordinary level of cost and time efficiency. Crude will flow to SPOT on a pair of 36-inch diameter pipelines from two Enterprise storage and distribution terminals, the existing ECHO terminal, 8.4 million barrels of tank storage, and the proposed Oyster Creek Terminal, 4.8 million barrels of planned capacity, in south-central Brazoria County. During Enterprise's March 29th Analyst Day, company executives said they expect the SPOT project will be underwritten by long-term contracts with a combination of large producers, crude oil traders, and, to a lesser degree, demand pull consumers overseas. They noted that the project has received a positive response from a number of prospective counterparties, and that SPOT's capacity will not need to be fully contracted for the project to be sanctioned. Co-CEO Jim Teague added, "I personally believe that this is a project that needs to be built." He noted that SPOT will provide important environmental benefits, including a 95% reduction in crude vapor emissions and a 65% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions compared with the emissions generated by reverse lightering similar volumes of crude. "We don't think you can overstate either the growing significance of exports to the U.S. crude oil market or the economic advantage that VLCCs provide, especially if they can be at least partially loaded at onshore docks. The EIEC and STG terminals in Ingleside, across the bay from Corpus, can load more than 1.2 million barrels onto VLCCs, and up to 1.6 million barrels starting in late April when a channel deepening project is finished, and SPOT, as we said, will be capable of loading VLCCs to the brim, reducing, or, in SPOT's case, eliminating, the need for reverse lightering, plus the economies of scale associated with using a much larger vessel, and VLCC charter rates that are currently comparable to the rates charged for much smaller Suezmax and Aframax tankers, can significantly reduce the per barrel cost of transporting crude oil long distances." Figure 2 in today's blog on the website shows the increasing number of oil-laden VLCCs leaving the Gulf Coast over the past couple of years, more than 30 per month, on average, since the middle of last year and a record 46 in March. Subsets of these VLCCs are partially loaded at either EIEC or STG, respectively the U.S.'s number one and number two crude oil export terminals by volume, before they are topped off via reverse lightering, while others are fully loaded at the Louisiana Offshore Oil Port, or LOOP, or filled entirely via reverse lightering in the deep waters of the Gulf. Before we discuss how spot will shake things up, we should note that while VLCCs are the go-to vessels for transporting crude oil to many large-volume European and Asian destinations, they are typically too big to use for shipping to other, smaller markets, including most of Latin America and Africa, and a number of ports in Europe. And, of course, the docks at most port facilities around the world, including many in Europe, are not able to receive VLCCs due to their deep draft and other massive dimensions. At these locations, when VLCCs are used, they are idled in deep waters offshore and their cargoes ferried to docks using smaller tankers. We also should point out that while LOOP remains the Gulf Coast's only terminal capable of fully loading VLCCs, its location and pipeline connections make it a less likely point of departure for Permian and other light sweet oils that dominate the export market. LOOP does export considerable volumes of generally lower API, higher sulfur crudes such as those produced in the offshore Gulf of Mexico. As spot is developed over the next 3 to 5 years, we expect that both EIEC and STG will take steps to protect and even expand their current dominant shares of crude export volumes. As we said a couple of weeks ago in From Here to There to You, Enbridge is currently building almost 2 million barrels of additional storage capacity at its Ingleside terminal and pursuing a possible 200,000 barrels per day expansion to the 950,000 barrels per day Gray Oak pipeline from West Texas to Corpus, in which the company holds a 68.5% ownership interest. Enbridge became Gray Oak's operator on April 1st. STG's co-owners, Buckeye Partners, Phillips 66 and MPLX, are surely considering possible expansion plans of their own for that facility. Assuming that spot comes online within Enterprise's announced time frame, we expect that, with its economies of scale and shipper commitments, which Enterprise is working on now, the terminal will quickly ramp up to full utilization, which would mean loading and sending out as much as 2 million barrels per day. Similarly, we anticipate that EIEC and STG will continue to run at or near their capacities. According to RBN's Crude Voyager quarterly report, the Enbridge and Buckeye/P66/MPLX terminals have maximum observed 30-day loading rates of 950,000 barrels per day and 600,000 barrels per day, respectively. Those numbers are likely to rise over time. As for the smaller and mid-size export terminals along the Texas coast, some local hardware stores competing with the Home Depot and Lowe's may well have a difficult time maintaining their existing volumes when spot joins the fray. Shippers using spot, EIEC and STG, plus LOOP in Louisiana, will be able to transport crude to most larger ports in Europe and Asia at discounted rates. All will not be lost, however, for terminals that cannot accommodate VLCCs. For one thing, as export volumes increase, there will still be a need to transport crude to Latin America and other markets that are best served by Suezmaxes and Aframaxes. Also, there's likely to be growing demand for export capacity for refined products, gasoline and diesel, LPG, and alternative fuels such as renewable diesel, RD, and sustainable aviation fuel, or SAF, as well as green or blue ammonia, which can be used as carrier fuels to transport clean hydrogen, and some terminals may consider reworking their facilities to handle these commodities. In any case, it seems clear that, assuming spot is built, non-VLCC terminals will need to be nimble and creative. Spot will be a game-changing development for sure, but it's only one of many substantive changes ahead for U.S. crude oil and petroleum product export markets. To help make sense of what's ahead, RBN will soon be bringing together the views of top executives engaged in these markets, midstreamers, private equity, producers, shipping companies, and other major players, along with RBN's latest analysis on infrastructure, production, and takeaway capacity. We call our conference ExportCon Oil 2023. This is where data and experience come together to explain what you need to know about the next phase of development in U.S. exports. ExportCon Oil 2023 is scheduled for the Houstonian in Houston on June 8, 2023. There, we'll review RBN's latest market analysis on the different energy export markets and then discuss what industry executives are seeing in their businesses. The need for U.S. exports to meet global demand will be front and center, along with what has been happening to supply/demand balances in the U.S. In addition to the whole RBN senior analyst team, we'll be joined by Jim Teague, co-CEO of Enterprise Products, Scott Sheffield, CEO of Pioneer Natural Resources, Aaron Milford, CEO of Magellan Midstream, Brian Freed, CEO of Epic Midstream, Tom Closa, Global Head of Energy Analysis at Opus, Tony Chivanek, Executive Vice President of Fundamentals and Supply Appraisal at Enterprise, and Sean Strawbridge, CEO of Port of Corpus Christi. All of these leaders have made significant contributions to U.S. export markets. Other folks participating in our conference will be announced over the next few days. Sign up now while the rate is cheap. Shake It Up was written by Rick Ocasek and appears as the second song on side one of the Cars album of the same name. Released as a single in November 1981, it went to number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. According to Cars drummer David Robinson, the song had been kicking around for years, and when the band decided to approach it again as a fresh tune, it changed every element of it and put back together. It was like a brand new song. Of note is lead guitarist Elliot Easton's guitar solo, in which he switches from a Fender Telecaster for the country-infused parts to a Gibson SG for the heavier rock riffs. Elliot's country inflections in his soloing always gave the Cars songs a unique flavor. Personnel on the record were Rick Ocasek, lead vocal, rhythm guitar, Benjamin or bass, Elliot Easton, lead guitar, backing vocals, Greg Hawks, keyboards, backing vocals, and David Robinson, drums, percussion. The album, Shake It Up, was recorded in early 1981 at Synchro Sound in Boston, with Roy Thomas Baker producing. Released in November 1981, it went to number 9 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart and has been certified 2X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. 4 singles were released from the LP. The Cars were an American rock band formed in Boston in 1976 by Rick Ocasek, Benjamin Orr, Elliot Easton, Greg Hawks, and David Robinson. Emerging from the new wave scene, the band featured Ocasek and Orr alternating on lead vocals, with Ocasek being the primary songwriter. They released 7 studio albums, 8 compilation albums, and 26 singles before disbanding in 1988. The Cars were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2018. Benjamin Orr died in 2000 and Rick Ocasek passed away in 2019. The surviving members continue to record and perform in various projects.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.